Good morning. It's great to have you along with us this morning. If you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This morning I'd like to talk about one of Jesus' parables and the way that it can apply to us as we continue to grow through His Word. But let's read Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to Him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6, But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's paint the picture here of this parable. This was probably a farming community. People would know what Jesus was referring to about farming in this parable. That's the way Jesus worked. He liked to talk to people about things that they knew about when he was teaching them. People would know what Jesus was referring to when it came to sowing seed because they did it. How do we receive God's word? How do we grow from it? Jesus knew that people had a listening problem and a hearing problem as well. When he said, He who has ears, let him hear. Well, most people had ears. Jesus' point here is that this lesson is for everyone. And three of the four soils referred to are those who are spiritually hard of hearing. But Jesus makes four points in this parable. Point one, we can't let God's word go in one ear and out the other. We read in verses 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 13. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. You see, seed was planted in long parallel rows, just like today that you might see in a garden. The walking path between each row was hard because people walked on it. And today we walk on it and we run tractors on it and things like that, just like you might see today. But the seed would land on this surface, but it wouldn't penetrate the soil because it was so hard. And the seed would just simply remain on the surface and the birds would just swoop down and get it for food. And for us, this means that some people have hard hearts. They'll listen, but not let the word into their hearts to help them grow. And there are various reasons for people having hard hearts. Some people are afraid of discovering that they aren't as righteous as they thought. Some people are unwilling to accept the growing pains that come along with growth. We may feel like we're at our full potential and we can grow no more. However, the scripture says this in Proverbs 18:15, The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. You see, in order to become God's stewards and good stewards of God's word, we must open up our hearts and have a desire for knowledge and growth. Point number two that Jesus makes here is we need to establish a root system. We continue reading in Matthew 13 at verse 20. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. See, imagine a thin layer of dirt with solid rock underneath. The seed will sprout, but it has nowhere to form a root system to help keep it alive, which to us means that there are those who might be on fire for the Lord, might be excited about Jesus, but then they quickly fall away because of failure to grow and failure to form a root system or to be grounded. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 reads, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." No matter how large our plants look on the surface, if we do not have a good root system, we will most certainly fall away. Point number 3, Jesus says that we must give priority to God's word. In Matthew 13, verse 22, we read, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." You see, this soil is fertile. It's good soil. However, it's full of weeds and thorns that will choke out the plant as it grows, which to us means some people do have God in their lives, but he only gets their spare time. However, God must fill our lives. If our hearts, our Bible hearts, our brains are filled with God, then our lives will be also. We read in Philippians chapter 4 at verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You see, God must be our number one priority. But unfortunately, there are things that we often put first, like convenience. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. Says, "After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Do we find ourselves looking to God when it's convenient? Or do we look to God at all times? Another thing that can keep us away from God is our family members. Matthew 10:37 says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." He doesn't say that we have to not love our families, but we must put him first, as well as our friends and associates. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We've got to make sure that our family and friends aren't put before God. What about our jobs? Do we sometimes get lost in our jobs and we put Jesus on the back burner? Matthew 6, beginning with verse 25, says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor what you will put on your body. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble." This passage doesn't mean that we are not to work. we see from 1 Timothy 5 that we must provide for or take care of our own. If not, we are to be considered worse than an unbeliever. What this means, what Matthew chapter 6 means, is we are to put our all into godly things, and God will see that we are able to provide for ourselves and our own. God will take care of us if we seek Him first. And we shouldn't put pleasure before God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And the final point that Jesus makes here in verse 23 of Matthew 13. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. See, this soil has all the nutrients that it needs, and it's not hindered by impurities, which to us means it is possible for us to grow with help from God. But it's up to us to make ourselves grow. God has given us all we need to grow, so we must listen to the Word of God. We must develop a deeper root system. We must free ourselves from life's thorns and weeds and the clutter of this world and put God first. We must be willing to grow. And if we have this type of attitude, we will produce fruit. Put these attitudes in your heart. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If those things are in our heart, we're going to be the type of people that God wants us to be. We're going to be His followers. We're going to be Christians. But in order to become a Christian, the Bible teaches us that once we have heard the Word of God, we must believe it to be true. We must repent of our old lives that were sinful and start to live for God. Confess Jesus as Lord, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. And until all these steps are done, you cannot be a Christian. You can't just do one and expect to be saved. You must do them all. And then you must continue to fertilize yourselves by living for God. Are you doing that this morning? Are you saved? Or do you just think you might be saved? Make sure that you know what you're doing. Make sure that you follow the Bible's plan of salvation. The plan of salvation given to us by God, not something that somebody has told you, or not something that you've seen on a pamphlet in a store somewhere that someone's laid around. Make sure you're reading the Bible and finding the truth. And if we can help you in any way, let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You could stop by and see us for one of our services. We meet on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible class, 10:25 for worship services, and again at 6 p.m. And we also meet for Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Give me a call, stop by and see us, whatever makes you comfortable. But let us help you. If you are in need of finding the truth, search the Scriptures. Come to us and let us help you understand them. Until next time, we thank you for joining us for Words of Truth.